Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com. Yes, we are live here at Brothers Barbecue with an awesome panel breaking down all things Broncos, Chiefs, Sunday Night Football, massive football game. The question that I have is, who is the X factor for this game? Who could tilt the scales on Sunday night? And before we get to that, really cool text message again, and I had a feeling that this would happen this year. And as you guys know, today is Schlereton Evans' Season of Hope, benefiting the New Life Program of the Denver Rescue Mission. Very cool annual event we do to provide a gift and support to men, you know, who are working their way back to becoming a productive member of society. And my guys at American Financing have come through, and they're going to be matching donations for the remainder of the War Room. Guys, if you want to help out this holiday season and directly impact someone's life, go to denverfan.com/seasonofhope to donate. That's denverfan.com/seasonofhope. And if you donate during the remainder of this War Room, American Financing will match your donation. Huge shout out to the generosity and my guys over at American Financing. Very cool doing this again. So thank you very much, American Financing, and thank you to everyone who's springing into action right now and impacting another human being. Okay, X factors on Sunday Night Football. I want to start at the other end of the table. Who is someone, James Merrillat from DenverFan.com, that can tip the scales? One caveat, you can't choose Drew Locke.
Okay. Fair enough.
which Bronco that will be on the field could have a direct impact in a bit of an X factor fashion?
Yeah, and this isn't necessarily going out on a huge limb, especially coming off the week he just had. But to me, it's Pat Surtain. Like, why did you draft someone at a position that I think was a luxury pick? Right, they had a lot of corners. You brought that guy in here because it's, hey, how do we stop Travis Kelce? How do we stop Darren Waller? Okay, well, let's see it. Let's see how Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell put that piece to use, and can they slow down this offense? So, to me, that's just the guy, and maybe it's just because I have nightmares as a Broncos fan of watching Travis Kelce run 80 yards for touchdowns at Arrowhead. They got to figure out a way to slow down that guy. They've had a problem slowing down tight ends in general, but specifically him. So that's the one I'm going to go with. If Travis Kelce does what he normally does against the Broncos, it's not going to be much of a game. So maybe it's Caden Stearns, maybe it's, you know, Baron Browning or Kenny Young, because now they have some middle linebackers that can go sideline to sideline. But you drafted Pat Surtain for a reason. It wasn't just because you can never have enough cornerbacks. To me, this is the game you had circled. I want to see it come to fruition.
Nate Jackson, X Factor on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, so John Clayton on the air today, Mike Kliss on the air today, talking about we got to air it out. We got to go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. I think that's a mistake. I think you got to find a way to run the ball, try to control the pace of the game. Javonte Williams is my guy. Look, he's getting his legs. He's healthier than everybody. He's fresh. He's young. He's got the juice. If you ride that guy and he was able to carve out, you know, 20 carries for 120 yards, that is a boon for this team, and that could control the game in a way that would be favorable for the Broncos. I think Javonte Williams could be the X factor in this game.
Tyler Palumbus.
Well, apparently we're going to have a lot of X factors because we've all got different people, so that's good. That's great. That's hey, good. Let's all play good football here. I'm going to go with the guy. You know, we're talking about Bradley Chubb a lot as a first-rounder, and it's quite frankly been disappointing. Another guy, and I know he's your dude, another guy that's been disappointing to me, Noah Fant, has been disappointing to me as a first-rounder. I see you got him circled there, not because you said he was disappointing, but because yeah, I think you're going to say he's an X-factor as well, and here's why. The Kansas City Chiefs, they have allowed the fifth most yards to tight ends this season of any team. They've got a weakness. They've got a deficiency. That's usually our problem. We usually can't stop tight ends. Well, guess what? They can't this year. Noah Fant's got 391 yards on the year. I'd like to see him have 100 yards in this game. I really would. Look, Teddy likes the dump-offs. He likes the check-downs. He's usually got pressure in his face. It's time for Noah Fant to look like a first-rounder. You know, you were drafted in the first round, and if you're drafted in the first round as a tight end, I expect you to look like a Hall of Famer, not Nate Jackson.
That was mean.
Wow.
That was mean.
Tyler with the bark.
I will say this.
Is Nick Ferguson next to me?
Wow. Just right and left with these guys. These former teammates. It's all about the brotherhood, right? Woo! Hey, Tyler, I think you're spot on. And because out of fear, because Stokely will accuse me of stealing his ideas, right. I've gotten accustomed to writing my stuff down to prove to him. No, and I don't mean to jump ahead of Cecil, but because it's the same, and Noah Fant for me is also my X factor. It's been a quiet season, and it's been too quiet. It's not like he hasn't done nothing. That's not true. He's matched his career high in touchdowns, but that's only three from a yard standpoint. And actually, forget the stats. Forget the stats. You just don't feel his impact week after week. And yep. It needs to be better. And I think if he was sitting here right here, he would tell you that.
I'm sure, he would.
As well.
Can I mention something about Noah Fant? You guys want to see him have 100 yards receiving? When Noah Fant catches five or more balls, the Broncos lose. They've only won twice when he's caught five passes or more. Involving Noah Fant heavily in the passing game means you are not going to win.
Well, that's probably because he's not doing anything with it.
Right. That's the other point.
So I'm saying it's time for him to do something.
So an unlikely X factor.
Sure.
Okay.
But that's an X factor, right? I guess.
An unlikely first-round X factor.
Yes,
sure.
What I'm saying, what has he shown you this year that says that he could do that?
Oh, fair enough. No, totally, totally fair.
And to your point, like, I think that it's like self-evident. If we're talking about Noah Fant being an X factor, that means it's not every day in, every day out. Because I think X factors are guy that that can change things that maybe come and go. And
the
unfortunately,
problem with Noah Fant, and you guys are correct in that it should be and it could be. The problem is yards after the catch. He catches and falls down. Like, ask him about that, and I'm sure he'll answer. I'm sure he will. yeah. He does. He does answer the tough questions.
Well, how would you answer that?
I don't know.
What is his answer?
Why do you not get more yards after the catch?
Yeah.
That's an easy answer.
Well, I'm tired. I don't want to run so far.
Or maybe there, could be a little more toughness after the catch. That's just a question. Not what I'm saying. He lacks toughness, but that's the problem. With Javonte Williams, I'm on board with you, but that's not the answer either. And by the way, people need to stop saying he split time in college with Michael Carter. It doesn't matter. Priest Holmes was the backup to Ricky Williams. And he was, a 2,000-yard rusher or whatever with Kansas City? It doesn't. Terrell Davis didn't even play at Georgia. Okay, so enough of this, he split time in college. He has to split time in the pros. No, he doesn't. He should be the lead back, and Melvin Gordon may not be available. The answer is Caden Stearns, though. You're close with Sertan, but Tyreek Hill is the X factor. Let Travis Kelce have 100 yards. James, I know that's weird, but you read my three keys on DenverFan.com. Everybody did, of course, but, Tyreek Hill in the four losses of Kansas City has never scored a touchdown. He was never the leading receiver for the team, and that's when Kelce had a couple of 100-yard games in two of those early losses. Might have been Buffalo and Tennessee, top of my head. But that's the key. So it is Caden Stearns and what he's able to do on that back end, because you're going to be bracketing Tyreek Hill. You have to. So whether Sertan is the X factor, he's the Kelce killer, let Kelce do his thing. Let Clyde Edwards-Helaire do his thing. Don't let Tyreek Hill get you, or you got, Pauly Shore. You got.
All right, we are live here at Brothers Barbecue, I-25 and Arapahoe. If you are considering stepping out for lunch, make it Brothers. They do an awesome job. We've already ate. Just incredible menu.
Tyler ate a whole meal in one bite. It was
no doubt.
Impressive.
Yeah.
They will take care of you.
I was in a rush.
Come down, see our guys. We're having conversations, all things Broncos, Chiefs, Sunday Night Football. We're going to be here until 2 o'clock, so you definitely still have time to get down here. A relevant question as it pertains to these current Denver Broncos players and Kansas City. I want to bounce off a thought that is going to be hard to believe coming up next. We are live here, and we are all eyes are pointing towards Sunday Night Football, Broncos, Chiefs. Game gets flexed into prime time. This is the one true primetime game that the Broncos have this year, other than the obligatory Thursday night game. And I have a relevant question. I have a relevant question as it pertains to these current Bronco players and Kansas City. It's a simple question, fellas. Cecil, Tyler, Nate, James. Which one of these Denver Broncos has ever beaten Kansas City?
Brandon McManus.
Yep.
Yeah.
That would be it.
B-Mac.
Well, hold on. Hold on. There might be more.
It would be somebody who wasn't a Bronco.
Melvin Gordon.
Right. Melvin, maybe. His team did. I don't know that he had a lot to do.
Woke up early this morning, did a little dive.
Did Melvin Gordon ever beat him?
Melvin Gordon. and the Chargers. In 2015 against KC, 0-2. 2016, 0-2.
Okay.
2017, 0-2. 2018, 1-1. But Melvin doesn't play. 2019, 0-2. And 2020, 0-2. Melvin Gordon has never beaten the Chiefs in the division.
And he won't this week either because he might not play.
In the division since 2015, never was on the winning side.
So it's literally down to one?
It is. Kenny Young was not with the Rams when they won that shot. Remember that shootout on Monday Night Football? It was like 54-51.
What about Kareem?
What about Kareem? Guy's been around forever.
Jackson's. So Kareem Jackson is the other, in addition to Brandon McManus, that was on a Deshaun Watson-led team that upset Kansas City.
Wow.
That's it. That's the list.
How about Vic Fangio?
You know?
He's beat Kansas City at some point, right. Guaranteed.
But it's one of these things that both collectively and individually, you're asking the Denver Broncos to do something that they have literally never done. And especially as a member of
– but you know what? You know what? That to me, that gets so overhyped. Like, this whole streak, it means something to us as a fan base. Obviously, it means something to us as a radio station. We're tired of it. We've got fans that are sitting here right now. They've been watching this for a decade, you know, and they're tired of it. But not a decade. Half a decade.
but more than that.
It feels like a decade.
But point being, the guys on this team, man, they've got nothing to do with it. 90% of these guys, they played the Chiefs one time, maybe two times over the course of their career. You can't hold the guys on this team accountable for the sins of the past. So, yeah, it's important to beat the Chiefs because they're a good football team, but it's not important for these guys to beat the Chiefs to break the record. No, they just got to beat the Chiefs because they're a good football team and they want to be in first place.
Did you believe Vic yesterday when he said he was unaware of the streak?
No, of course not. Of course he's aware of the streak. I mean, I know that he knows he hasn't beaten the Chiefs.
Yeah,
so,
that's for sure.
Maybe he doesn't know how far back it goes, but he knows that he's got a losing streak to the Chiefs. And I do think that it's going to mean something extra for Vic Fangio because he's a part of it, right? But for these guys in the roster, it turns over so much. I mean, gosh, I don't know. Nate, what would you say?
It's like 70%.
70, oh, okay.
30% every year.
All right. So yeah, I was going to say within two or three years, 70% of the roster would be gone.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I want to go back to something that you brought up because I know you're only going to be with us for a little bit more. You're doing a little bit double duty today, as is a lot
He's
of
like
guys.
Like a Dodger Nate. Crowd. Show up late, leave early.
Yeah.
Brandon Stokely wishes he had his schedule.
Not just anybody could live this life, James.
I get it. I said that with all due respect. Right. I appreciate
this
it.
This is a tough life. It's a blue collar.
Well, it's funny you guys are going back and forth because I wanted to bring up a conversation that happened a little bit earlier in the week that I know James definitely disagreed with. We had the conversation here a couple days ago. You said a couple days ago, Tyler Palumbis, that Drew Locke should lose his opportunity to be the Broncos' backup quarterback.
Yeah.
That he has not maximized those chances, and eventually as a backup, if you fail in that role multiple times, someone else should get an opportunity. That should be Brett Rippon.
Yeah,
but by default. That about sums up your take, right?
Sure. That's the way the NFL works. You don't get multiple opportunities at this thing. And if you get two of them and you don't seize the day, that's it. Now, Drew Locke is the most talented backup quarterback on this team. There's no question about it. I'm not doubting that he's got more physical ability than Brett Rippon. But clearly the dude doesn't know how to prepare for that role. He's had two cracks at it. It's been an utter failure. What he did last weekend was an utter failure. Sorry, James.
He threw a terrible pass.
No, it was an utter failure.
He played better against Baltimore than Teddy Bridgewater did. Teddy Bridgewater was 7-16
James,
for 100
James,
yards.
It was an utter failure.
He played better in about five snaps.
He put
Teddy
the ball on the ground, and then he tossed an interception, and
on
it was
the last
a god-awful
play of the game,
interception.
Down 16.
James, it's the way the world league works. I'm telling you, if you don't know how to prepare, nobody's there to hold his hand. If you're the starter, people are there to hold his hand. People will be there to mentor.
So last
when
week
you're
was
the backup,
a lack of preparation.
When you're the backup, your job is to be ready to rock and roll. Nobody's going to hold your hand and mentor you anymore.
So you're saying last week, and look, I'll say it again. I feel like I've said it 700 times on these airwaves since Sunday because I get asked about it all the time. The interception was ridiculous, unacceptable, can't have it happen.
Yeah.
right? That's why Drew Lock isn't playing, is that play. That you could show one play from his career, and that's why he's a backup.
No,
I'm
saying that in his two appearances, he should have turned the ball over close to five times.
But
I
don't think his performance on Sunday was due to a lack of preparedness.
Oh, I'm not saying that either. I'm not saying it as a lack of preparation. I'm saying the dude just doesn't know how to do it. I'm saying the dude,
Brett Rypien does?
Nope. I don't, but I know this. Drew Lock is not seizing the day, and if you don't seize the day in the NFL, you lose your
opportunities. Okay, let me ask you this. Let's say Teddy Bridgewater gets hurt on the last play of the game Sunday night.
Sure.
And he's out for the year.
Sure.
Which guy do you want playing the final six, Drew Lock or Brett Rypien?
At this point, I want Brett Rypien.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, and what do you want to change?
Yeah. Here, my goodness.
The point that we're not talking about is yes.
You'd rather have a guy who's won.
Guess what?
He's 1-0. He beat the Jets and threw three picks in that game.
I don't know if Brett Rypien will be successful or not, but I do know that Drew Lock has been
entirely unsuccessful with his three picks that Brett Rypien threw against that dog butt Jets team. Oh, my God. We'd have broke that thing down like it was the Zapruder film.
Poor Drew Lock. Everyone's picking on Drew Lock. Here's the thing everyone's missing out on. You don't have to change the offense if Brett Rypien comes in. Brett's game is more closely associated to Teddy. I'm not talking about football intelligence. I'm talking about just what you can do. If Drew Lock comes in, you have to scrap what you do. Now, I'm not saying
like,
what
oh,
they
we got,
do
we
is great.
We got to dumb it down. We got to make things more simple.
I'm not
simple
saying
for,
what the, Pat Shurmur does is great, but if you're going to run Pat Shurmur's offense, the true offense, and not some half playbook, you're going to have Brett Rypien in it. Drew Lock needs to go somewhere else, man. It's just done here.
So, wait. So just so I understand, we're following the exact same excuse train that we had for Paxton Lynch that they couldn't develop him. He's dumb. And he doesn't
there's
prepare.
There's no more development.
I just want to understand that's what everybody's saying.
I didn't say anything about him being dumb.
Well,
I didn't say that he doesn't try hard.
Half the offense.
I didn't say that he doesn't prepare. I didn't say any of that. I said that he doesn't seize the day. The moment gets too big for him. He panics. He does dumb things when he's out there.
He threw seven passes. And we're going to judge it based on that.
Yes.
Do you think that Teddy Bridgewater played well in the first half against the Ravens?
I do not.
He was 7-16. So perhaps it was the opponent and the game plan. But nobody looks at that game and says Teddy Bridgewater was crappy. It's just Drew Lock was crappy. Neither one of them was good.
James, you run out of opportunities, buddy. You run out of opportunities.
Okay, let me ask
you
this.
There's no more development.
Let me ask you this. All three quarterbacks.
You don't get to treat a backup QB like he's a developmental guy.
All three quarterbacks leave town on January 10th and never come back.
Okay.
Which one do you think is most likely that we would say, dang, we had that guy here at one point? Which one?
If we needed a starting QB next year, Teddy Bridgewater.
That we would look down in 3 years and go, man, we had that guy here and let him walk away. It's Drew Lock.
It ain't
Teddy Bridgewater, and it sure as heck ain't Brett Rypien.
No, it's not Drew Lock.
Oh, that's my goodness.
It's over. It's done. It's over.
I said, based on the fact that he came in and played half a quarter against the Chargers, threw a bad pick, he's done. His career is over. He's never going to turn into anything.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying his opportunity here in Denver is done.
I don't disagree with that, but I think he has the better chance of any of the other two of going somewhere else and excelling.
Well, does he get it, or is he coddled like he always has been since he was even a high school quarterback? The moment's too big for him here.
The moment's too big
for him.
And
it's not working here.
Goodness.
Go to a West Coast offense. Go to Green Bay, whatever. I said at the beginning of training camp.
Heaven forbid you design an offense that maximizes your quarterback's talents. That would be weird.
That would be awful.
Noah Fant underperforms. Jerry Jeudy underperforms. Dalton Reisner regresses. Drew Lock regresses. But it couldn't be Pat Shurmur. It's all these high draft picks. It's all these first and second round picks that just don't know how to play. It couldn't be Pat Shurmur. We're going to rip Pat Shurmur as a terrible offensive coordinator and then condemn the quarterback who doesn't develop under him? Like, where's the list of quarterbacks
I don't even understand the correlation. I literally don't get the correlation between Pat Shurmur and Drew Lock, a backup quarterback. Pat Shurmur's job right now is not to develop a backup quarterback. The backup quarterback's job is to fit into Pat Shurmur's offense.
Not the other way around.
So you think Brett Rypien would have come in and played significantly better? Might have a role. His job might be to develop an offense for Teddy Bridgewater. But no, the backup QB, he's there to fit in.
I get it. You think Brett Rypien would have come in and done what against the Chargers?
He probably wouldn't turn it over twice, and that should have been two turnovers.
Oh, well, it should have been a turnover when Teddy Bridgewater got drilled from behind. Again, it's Little League mom keeping the scorebook. He got drilled from behind because he didn't see the blitz, and because his arm was going forward like a slow-motion crash test dummy, they get it overturned, but nobody's going to hold that one against him. But if Drew Lock fumbles and it gets recovered, and it's a first down, the turnover at the half
could have easily lost the game. Plain and simple.
My gosh.
It could have lost the game.
All right, we will leave that one there for now. Good conversation.
Seriously. I gotta go.
That was a good conversation. We're live here at Brothers Barbecue. Spirited debate, good stuff. We look back at these 11 losses to Kansas City. Which one for each of us sticks out as the worst, the most stinging loss against Kansas City? Your responses coming up next.
I'm not into Drew Lock. John Elway's shadow is better than you. Go back to the bench. Win more games, Cub Scout.
Yes, we are live breaking down the massive football game that awaits the Denver Broncos in front of the world. Sunday night football, and we know about the losing streak. We've been talking about it all week. 11 consecutive losses to the Kansas City Chiefs, and we've been putting together these packages that revisit some of these losses, and here's the latest.
October 1st, 2018. The Broncos welcome the undefeated Chiefs to Mile High on Monday Night Football. Armed with veteran quarterback Case Keenum, the Broncos hope to finally snap their five-game skid against Kansas City. Leading by 10 points in the fourth quarter, Vance Joseph turned to his defense to protect the lead.
Here comes Von Miller! Oh, how did he pull that off? He got it to Hill, and they've got a first down.
Montana magic in Kansas City. Look at this guy, Von Miller on his heels. He throws it left-handed.
He puts it in his left hand.
Denver surrendered two touchdowns to Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs in less than 5 minutes. Now trailing and with a game on the line, the Broncos had a chance to finally deliver a knockout blow and beat the Chiefs.
Third and 10, the Denver quarterback hits the shotgun snap. Keenum moves up, lines right pass down the far side. Oh, he overshoots! A wide open Demaryius Thomas at the 5 down the far sideline. It whistled right over his gloved fingertips. Just that close. Incomplete.
The missed pass defined Keenum's tenure in Denver, and the four-point loss would be as close as the Broncos have come to beating the Chiefs since. It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead.
Wow, that one is... Well, I'll say I will never forget that one. I remember where I was standing, who I was with. It was wild. And if you remember, the Chiefs went to 4-0. It was the previous season where Patrick Mahomes made his debut against the Denver Broncos, week 18. And it's the following season. He's the full-time starter. The Broncos had a chance to be the answer to a trivia question and be the first loss on Patrick Mahomes' career. And that season was magical for Mahomes, there's no doubt. And on that night, he threw for over 300 yards, had a touchdown. I remember there was a play from Kareem Hunt, and he scooted out, just found the edge, and had a 45-yard touchdown run to the house. But, of course, as you just heard our big voice guy say, that last play defined Case Keenum's time in Denver. He had Demaryius Thomas, missed him, and
Emmanuel is more wide open. It's a cover two, it's a honey hole, it's a cover two beater. You know it well, Nate. And he went for Demaryius on the right side. And I remember talking to the offense coordinator, who the hell was it,
Mike,
James?
Mike McCoy? Bill Musgrave.
No, it was Musgrave.
It was Musgrave.
And I asked him, I said, did you tell Case that Emmanuel was wide open? He didn't really answer. But you watch the all 22. Emmanuel was more wide open. Like the Demaryius throw, that's a honey hole. It's a tougher throw, Nate, as you well know. You got to get it over past the corner in front of the safety. Emmanuel was wide open because the safety busted his coverage. That play is especially frustrating because people just remember, oh, the Demaryius Thomas miss. It's not DT's fault. It was Case's fault for not seeing E.
When we talk about the most stinging losses to the Chiefs, where does that one rank? Is that at the top? I mean, obviously there's been blowout losses. Like we've seen them. I think I heard Evan say the average score is like 30-16 or 29-16. We've seen a lot of beatdowns.
Yeah.
But because of how attainable that one was, because it was still early in the season, the Broncos came into that game at 2-1 would have sent them to 3-1. And just the way that it happened and the opportunity missed, I think that one's near the top.
The opportunity missed when Pat Mahomes was hurt, Remember that game?
I was at that one too.
Yep. You get beat by a backup quarterback. Mahomes is out.
That was Bloody Thursday.
Here's
30
your
to
chance.
Six. Yeah.
Here's your chance. And that one, but to me, it's I'm going to sound like Stephen A. Disrespect ah. When the Don Terry Poe throws a touchdown.
Without a doubt. Yeah, that, to ruin Christmas night.
Yeah, that Christmas game. That
was
that's
crazy.
It. That's it. The other one's got some sting, some little stinging rain.
But that one for you, Don Terry Poe throwing the touchdown.
The disrespect. Absolute disrespect.
Okay. Nate Jackson, does one game stick out more than another when it comes to you know, the heartbreaking losses to the Chiefs?
I mean, I think the one you're talking about with Case Keenum overthrowing DT, it signaled a new era for the Chiefs when Patrick Mahomes came in and did what he did. That season, that 2018 season, he had 50 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And 5,000 yards.
Yeah, crazy.
So that's kind of the start of this magical run they've been on, and the Broncos haven't been able to figure him out ever since. So to me, that's kind of the start of this issue. And they got to find a way to punch him in the mouth. They got to find a way to hurt him, put him on the ground. You know, it's like Buster Douglas. When he went out there to fight Mike Tyson, he believed he was going to beat Mike Tyson. Nobody else did. So do these Broncos believe they can stop Patrick Mahomes? They have to, or they won't.
You want to know what's funny? Because I remember doing the show ahead of this game, and I was saying the same thing about Mahomes. Going back to the DT game, I was going, will someone hit this guy?
Yes.
Will someone blast this guy? And they got a piece of him that night. Yeah. I don't know if anyone else remembers that. They got a piece of him near the goal line. He got hit well, and he got right back up. Mahomes is tough, man.
He's tough.
And there was that moment in that game that Von Miller has Mahomes left-handed. By the legs, and he transferred the ball and completed a left-handed pass. And that was like another one, like add it to the highlight reel. This guy is different. He's a freak.
Hit him harder this time. Hit him harder. Get him on the ground in the first quarter. Just like Al Davis, the quarterback must go down,
must go down hard.
I think the Don Terry Poe game makes me more mad just because of the disrespect factor. But the two games they were so close are the ones that sting. So this was one of them. And then yesterday we played the vignette where they were up 24-16 or whatever it was. They were up double digits late. Chiefs scored twice. They went into overtime, traded field goals. McManus misses the 62-yarder.
That's right.
And then they go down and get the field goal right at the gun to win it in overtime. Those two are painful because you were this close, right? Those are the ones you, if you're a coach or you're a player, heck, even a fan like me, you lay there at night and you just think about this player, that player, how it could have changed. When you get beat 33-10 on Christmas night, you're just mad that you got your nose rubbed in it, which I certainly was, but they were never in that game. This one, the DT throw, it's like, it's right there. And, yeah, Emmanuel probably was even more open, but it's like, it's right there. Like, you just make an NFL-caliber throw, a college-caliber throw, and we're walking out of the stadium high-fiving everybody and hooting and hollering and going home with the W. So that one, that was one of the two that stings for sure.
And then the other one that sticks out that I'll mention is the day that this started the streak where Peyton Manning – went four interceptions in the first half with a 0.3 QBR, a zero passer rating in the same day that he breaks the all-time passing record on a little four-yard, you know.
Yeah.
That was just, you know, painful as well in a 29-13 blowout at home. All right. We have talked about this thing from so many different angles. If the Broncos plan on doing something on Sunday Night Football that they haven't done in years, what do they have to do? Keys to the game from our guys coming up next.
It's the Fan War Room, Denver, Kansas City Preview Edition. Live from Brothers Barbecue off I-25 in Arapaho. Here's Tyler Palumbus, Nate Jackson, DenverFan.com's James Marilat, and Cecil Lamy with your host, Zach Bye.
All right, we've done a lot of talking today. And it's time to talk about just some keys to victory. And I know, you know, we'll have more of an expansive conversation on this on a day like tomorrow. But I did wanted to get your guys' thoughts if the Broncos were going to pull off an upset, what it would take. Tyler Palumbus is no longer with us. Although the schedule did say that Tyler would be here until the last break. He bailed out a segment early. So don't think that went unnoticed. And I hope he's listening in the car. Cecil, if the Broncos are going to do what very few think that they can do,
yeah,
and that's go into Arrowhead as a near double-digit dog,
right,
and upset a Kansas City team who actually looks different. They look different this last month. They haven't lost in a month. The first month of the season, it was like, what? Who are these guys? They're under 500 after five games. But the Broncos, here they are, 9.5-point dogs. What do they got to do to win?
My three keys to victory on DenverFan.com were run the ball, and it's going to be tough to do against a strong rush defense. And their defense has changed because they moved Chris Jones. Chris Jones is there's a lot of words you could use to describe Chris Jones. None of them are radio-friendly, and I say that in a good way because he's that dude. When it comes to interior football, he's that dude. He is incredibly tough to double-team. He's tough to stop as a pass rusher. He can stuff the run. When they move Chris Jones, that was the key to spark their defense because the interior pressure makes every quarterback look mortal. So running the ball is difficult against the top five rush defense, but it's the commitment. I always say when everyone on the station has the debate of, you know, you really got to run the ball and oh, they're only averaging 3 yards a carry. It's the commitment to run the ball more than it is the result. The results can't be terrible, but it's the actual wherewithal to stick with it, even when you're down by 7, maybe 10, and maybe not against this team. But it's running the ball. It is making sure that you shut down or slow down Tyreek Hill, as I mentioned earlier. All of their losses, he never had a touchdown. All of their losses, he never had 100 yards. Wasn't even their leading receiver. Tyreek Hill is the key. And then finally, you will take some deep shots. Dink and dunk. Noah Fant should have a big day. They give it up against the tight end. But make sure to throw in a couple of deep shots to back them up a little bit too.
James, what strikes you as you know, things the Broncos have to get done in order to be in this football game, let alone win it?
I think it's more things they have to avoid than things they have to get done. I think they have to avoid the early buzzsaw, right? Mm. You're walking into Arrowhead. It's Sunday Night Football. That place, they've been out in the parking lot eating barbecue and, you know, getting liquored up before the game. Like, that place is going to be rocking.
Totally. It's going to be a nice day there, too. It's going to be 57 and sunny.
Oh, so they're going to be raring to go. And part of why they stayed in the game last year when they lost out there 22-16, two things. One, Melvin Gordon had a great game. So you're right, Cecil. They got to run the football. This year it'll be Javonte Williams, but same game plan. Keep Patrick Mahomes standing on the sideline. But they didn't give up the big play. Right, they made Patrick Mahomes kind of pick him apart, which is the Vic Fangio
way. And Mahomes doesn't like to do that,
by the way. He doesn't.
He loves hero ball.
But when we listen to these vignettes, right, and if it's the blowout games are the one where it's Tyreek Hill, a 70-yard play, Travis Kelce, an 80-yard play, it's Sorensen with the pick six, yep. It's all those kind of things that it just snowballs with that team, and especially in that building with the crowd. Last year they didn't have to deal with the Arrowhead crowd when they were able to stay in the game. I think that's it. I think if that snowball starts going downhill in the first quarter, I think this thing can get away from them. I think if you look up and, you know, it's 7-7 or 7-3 after one and they're in it at halftime, I think they got a good shot. Because then it comes down to, hey, who can make a play, right? You got to have somebody step up and make one play. But if they're down double digits, go ahead and click it to the Sunday night movie on ABC because this thing is over. That's just how I look at it.
25 days of Christmas.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Hallmark Channel, man. It's funny.
Hey, Hallmark Channel's got some sleepers now.
They do now.
yeah, I agree with everything that you guys said. And the fact is, we could come up with five different keys to the game that all would need to happen, you know, and that we could all agree, you know, winning the turnover battle, keeping Kansas City's offense on the sideline with an effective run game, you know, complementary football. And, you know, we didn't mention special teams. Special teams was a rare advantage for the Broncos this past week. And,
yep.
You know, we shouldn't be falling at the feet of Tom McMahon because they were competent, but they looked good. They pinned the Chargers multiple times inside the five, and they were just they were a plus and not a minus.
Well, think about how big the fact that the Chargers started their first drive at the 1 yard line.
Right.
Right? Like they couldn't do what they wanted to do. They didn't get any momentum going, and it just sort of set the tone for the rest of the game.
Totally.
Well, that was a special teams play, right? Going down, pinning them at the one. Those kind of things are big, so it's not only making those, but it's the, you know, don't put the ball on the ground. Don't bring it out from the end zone on a kickoff and you get to the 12.
Right. You're not going to make that play. It's the hero ball thing.
Right.
Can the Broncos do what the Chargers couldn't do? The Broncos' biggest opponent isn't the crowd at Arrowhead that's all liquored up. It's not Pat Mahomes. Their biggest opponent is themselves. The Chargers can outrun their pass, and Broncos fans took issue with me which is fine. I got broad shoulders. Not as broad as yours, James. My God, you're getting flipped off here in public.
I didn't get double birded, though, so okay, it's not a full day.
Okay, okay. But, like,
and for those who don't understand that reference, at the very top of the war room, I said, hey, we got our panel. And when I got to James, I said, if you want to come down to Brothers and flip James off in person, of course, as a joke, he's our friend. Yes. Someone actually drove down here just to give James
a
middle
finger. Barbecue, right?
And of course. Of
right,
course.
Right, right. So the Chargers choked because that's what they do. They don't get out of their own way. Even Justin Herbert talked about that after the Steelers game. Like, we're here to set a new tone. No, you're not. You're still the same old Chargers. You choke. Broncos fans got mad at me, but I'm only going to tell you the truth. The truth is the Chargers always choke. Hey, they choked against Denver. Well, good for Denver. Kansas City has the ultimate hubris with what they do. It's why Mahomes doesn't like to dink and dunk, because he's like, I know I can make that throw. Whoops, I didn't make that throw. Like, that's why if you kind of frustrate him that way, it's beneficial to your team. It's going to take a lot. But the Broncos have to not beat themselves. And can they have that belief when they're down 10-3, when it's 14-3, and they're down, and they get the ball after the half, will they have the belief within themselves, like, hey, I know Pat Shurmur's not calling the greatest plays, but we got Cortland Sutton, we got Tim Patrick, we got Jerry Jeudy, we got Javonte Williams. Will they overcome the history of these 11 games? They're fighting their past selves on Sunday night.
You know, the other part of it, though, and I don't disagree with any of that, but at some point, too, like if you look back to last year's game, they kind of played the perfect formula, right? They ran the ball. They didn't give up big plays. They made Patrick Mahomes be patient, and they still lost.
Right.
Somebody has to make a play. Like, they went in there and won with Tebow and completed two passes. Mm-hmm. But Eric Decker caught a long touchdown, right? Like, someone has to at some point.
And Lance Ball ran it, like, 35 times.
Right, right. Somebody's got to make a play. Is it a Pat Surtain pick six on the road? Okay. Is it a Jerry Jeudy catch it? And you were talking about yards after the catch and how the Chiefs are susceptible to that. Do what you did against the Raiders in the
90-yard
finale.
90-yard touchdown.
And yeah, like they need at least one of those.
Is it a Bradley Chubb strip sack?
Maybe.
I mean, like, you're right, though. Someone has to play above their head. And obviously you hope that's Teddy first and foremost. But, you know, is it Javonte? You know, is it – you know, Melvin's banged up. He's not practicing today. He's got a hip. He's got an ankle, I think. Is it a Javonte Williams game? Is it a Noah Fant game? Like, when, you know, how long has it been since, you know, we had a Noah Fant game?
The team needs to rally around what Javonte Williams does, which is aggression. They should be aggressive. They should be physical. That should be their identity.
And I want to be aggressive with KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
James, good. I got tomorrow circled. I won't sleep a week.
You ready for it?
Hey, this was fun, man. I love doing this with you guys. It's great to get, you know, talk about the team from 20,000 square feet, and, you know, hopefully we're coming in on Monday. I'm supposed to take next week off, right? I had a baby. Our help is leaving town, so, like, that's the week for me to take off when my wife still needs me. But I had a conversation with my wife this morning. So if the Broncos beat Kansas City, I'm coming into work. This is my fifth football season here.
So wait
okay?
a minute. If they lose, you're going to let me deal with all that? That's the game plan?
I still may come in, depending on how I feel, James. But this is the fifth football season I've been doing the show with Stoke. We've never come in after a win against Kansas City. So, you know, here's to hoping that they do it. I know we're going to continue to all break it down here over the next handful of hours and then into the night, of course, and all day tomorrow. And the last thing I want to say is this is a big spot. It's a pressure spot. I've said this a couple times this week. This pressure is earned. You earn it. You are a winning team in December. This does matter. You did get flexed in because you're relevant. So now – take care of business and see what they can do with it.
Yeah, we'll find out, though. There's 20. I think it's 25 teams in the league that have 5 wins or more.
Yeah, it's the latest this time in the season in NFL history that many.
So
teams
really,
have
they're
five.
In a batch of the teams that aren't just awful, right? Like, that's what they've proven, which they've been in that group before,
right?
So that's a step. We'll find out. You know, it's the ultimate contender pretender game
We're fixing to find out.
Guys, thanks for being here.
You bet. It was fun.
Appreciate you.
All right. We step aside. Shout out our guy, Richie. We step aside for D-Mac and part-time Columbus.
Yeah. The drive. I just want you to know I made it on time. And James, if you wouldn't mind just swinging on through, I'm not done yelling at you. Okay?
Yeah, I was going to say. That's why I missed the legal. I'm still reeling.
who exactly is bringing back some delicious Brothers Barbecue to the house here?
What do you mean?
Well, who's bringing the food back? Who's?
Yeah, he wasn't here long enough to order.
Yeah, no. I got my food in. I got my food in. Don't worry about that. Yeah, that's right.
He wasn't here long enough to order.
Guys, it's a tough life starting your day at 2 o'clock. Anything before 2 o'clock, that's a miracle.
All right, fellas. It was awesome listening to you guys. And if you guys want to bring some stuff back, we wouldn't hold it against you. No? Okay.
James, I'll yell at you behind your back, buddy.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Sounds good, Tyler.
Bye.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.